December 24th, Vigil of the Nativity. The Epistle from the Letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was made to him of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was predestinated the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of sanctification, by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith in all nations for his name, among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ our Lord. Haydock Commentary. Paul not only had the name of apostle, but he had his call to this high function and his mission from God. He was separated from others and appointed by the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel, as we read in Acts 13:2, when the Holy Ghost to those of the church of Antioch said, "Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work unto which I have taken them." God before in the Scriptures promised the blessings which are now come by the preaching of the gospel, and that they should come by his Son. God promised that he who was his true and only Son from eternity should also become his Son as man, that the same Son should be man as well as God, when the Word was made flesh, when that divine person should be united to our human nature. Thus the same person who was his only begotten Son from eternity, being made man and of the seed of David, by his incarnation was still his Son, both as God and also as man. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. Then Mary, the mother of Jesus, was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Whereupon Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing publicly to expose her, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in his sleep, saying, "Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. You may ask whether it be here meant that the Blessed Virgin was espoused to Joseph only by betrothal, or by an actual marriage contract and celebration of nuptials, and so whether Christ was incarnate and conceived of a virgin who was betrothed only, or of one who was actually married. St. Jerome, St. John Chrysostom, Theophylactus, St. Ambrose, and others think that the Virgin was espoused not merely by betrothal, but by marriage, by an actual nuptial contract. This is proved, first, because Joseph is called in the verse following, and in verse 16, the husband of Mary. This must mean that he had married her. Second, Joseph wished to put her away, as being with child, as it is said in the verse following. He had therefore taken her to him to wife, for no one puts away what he has not. Third, because betrothed is interpreted to mean married. Yea, Joseph called her his wife. She was therefore already married, and introduced into the house of her husband Joseph as his wife, that by this means Joseph might be the attesting witness of her virginity, and the guardian and nourisher both of herself and her child Jesus. Consider also that the Blessed Virgin, as soon as she had received Gabriel's message, being now full of the word, visited Elizabeth and abode with her 3 months, from whence it does not seem that she there celebrated her marriage with Joseph, nor yet after her return to Nazareth, for there exists no trace of such an event, so that she must have celebrated this marriage before Gabriel's message and the incarnation of the Word. Neither would it have been becoming that an unmarried virgin should undertake so great a journey into a mountainous country without a husband or companion, or without her guardian sending a maid or some female relation with her. Fourth, because it was plainly befitting that Christ should be born of a woman who was actually married, in order that he might not be despised by the Jews as illegitimate, but might be received as a legitimate son. And this is why Joseph is called Christ's father. Finally, offspring is the proper fruit of wedlock. It was lawful marriage because, although the Blessed Virgin had made a vow of virginity, yet she lawfully, and without peril of a breach of her vow, engaged in marriage, because she knew by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that Joseph would never use his power and marital rights to the detriment of her vow. So says St. Augustine. It is moreover probable that the Blessed Virgin Mary had revealed this, her vow, to Joseph before marriage, and that he had consented to it. Some add that he had promised to be the guardian of her vow. It was holy marriage because by means of it, Joseph protected the good repute and the virginity of Blessed Mary, and became the guardian, nourisher, and educator of the child Jesus. What were more holy than this? St. Thomas, in the third part of his Summa, question 29, article 2, assigns many reasons why Christ was born of an espoused virgin. And he adds that there might be a fifth reason why the mother of the Lord was espoused and a virgin, in order that in her person both virginity and matrimony might be honored against the heretics who attack either one or the other. The holy martyr Ignatius, cited by St. Jerome, gives yet another reason, that is, in order that her childbearing might be concealed from the devil, so that he thought that Christ was not born of a virgin, but of a wife. This family was then, as it were, a heaven upon earth, a family not so much of three human persons as of three embodied angels, yea, symbolically, as it were, of three divine persons. Therefore it is not doubtful that it was thronged with angels, ministering to the Virgin as Queen of Heaven, and to Christ as their Lord and their God. Yea, they were amazed, and had the utmost desire to behold the Word incarnate. Let husbands and wives imitate the Blessed Virgin and Joseph in purity, in sanctity, in patience, and charity, bearing one another's burdens. There was in this family of Joseph, Mary, and Christ the utmost concord amongst all, the utmost love, the utmost reverence, humility, piety, help, and mutual compliance. From it, not only all bickering was absent, but even the very lightest suspicion of any evil thing. When it is said, before they came together, it is not to be understood that afterwards they came together for the marital debt, as the impure heretic Helvidius maintained, who denied that the Blessed Virgin was always a virgin, and asserted that she afterwards became by Joseph the mother of those who in the Gospel are called the Lord's brethren. St. Jerome confutes him at length, and shows that nothing is meant here except the miraculous conception of Christ by a pure virgin. Thus, we say in common speech, such a one had gray hairs before he was an old man, meaning only that it was remarkable that he was early gray-headed, even though he never became an old man, but died before he came to old age. Moreover, the brethren of the Lord are called his kinsmen, for, as St. Jerome says, brethren are so called in four ways, by nature, race, relationship, and affection. People are called brethren by nature who are born of the same parents, by race, who belong to the same nation, as St. Paul calls the Jews his brethren, by kinship, as cousins are called brethren in Scripture, by affection, as when Christians love one another with mutual fraternal love. For this is the love of the brotherhood which St. Paul so often commands. You may ask, why does not Matthew say also, she was with child by the eternal Father, and by the Son, as well as by the Holy Ghost? It is replied that he might have said this with equal truth, for it is an axiom among theologians that the operations of the Holy Trinity ad extra, that is, with reference to the universe of created things, are common to all the three divine persons. But he preferred to say, by the Holy Ghost, because as power is appropriated to the Father, and wisdom to the Son, so love, goodness, and grace, which especially shine forth in the work of the Incarnation, are attributed to the Holy Ghost. Joseph, who was a righteous man, teaches husbands and believers not to suspect evil concerning just and holy persons upon slight grounds, but to wait for proofs. They should not be too ready to infer guilt, but should put the most favorable construction they can upon everything.